Hello, Internet. My name is Jonathan Cook.
And I'm Matt Noble.
The Screen Verdict team back together once again.
Yes, this time I've flown all the way to America.
My side of the equator.
Hollywood.
Matt is here.
No, no, that's public domain. Let's cut that out now.
15-second fair use policy.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
So we have a bit of an interesting...
I'm just moving my chair. Yeah, if you heard that sound of me, apologise. It wasn't any... Like, it was a chair move. Continue.
It was just getting ready to WWE style crack me over the back of the... So it's going to be a feisty one.
I thought it could have sounded like a fart.
Well covered.
Yeah. Yes.
So we have a bit of a different podcast. We haven't tried this before, but both of us have been travelling recently. I went to Australia for Borna's wedding.
Yes.
Met up with you. And then travelled over to Christmas to North and South Carolina. Matt, what have you been doing?
Well, I've travelled here. So I went to London and Switzerland for Christmas and New Year's, and then came back here. So I went to New York a bit before then. I don't know why I've decided to recount my travels in like a jumbled order. But anyway, we've both been on a lot of planes, and there's something you can do on planes that is relevant to our podcast.
What the audience is hoping for is for you to be coy for as long as possible.
You could, there's screens on planes. Zero's getting around to. There's screens on planes. You can watch movies. You can watch TV shows. That's what this podcast reviews. So we thought it'd be a good idea we do a little, like, plane potpourri reviews.
Yes, with all our travels, we've had less access to cinemas, more access to somewhat recent films.
And it's not incredibly recent, but not incredibly old. And I think the interesting thing about a plane movie is, like, there might be sort of movies you watch on a plane that you wouldn't go to the cinema to see.
Definitely.
I don't really know, for me, like, I've got a slightly different criteria in the plane movie sort of... what I'll watch on a plane and what I want to watch in a cinema with my friends.
Yes. Also, 12 hours into a flight,
yeah,
you might be less picky than what costs $18 at the movies.
Yeah.
So we're going to just do a bit of a mashup.
Mm.
Going to do a mix and match of what we've seen on the planes. We'll let you know if we recommend them. And if you find yourself on a plane in the near future, perhaps you can try it out.
Yeah. What type of movie do you look for on the plane, Jonathan? Like, what are you trying to get out of a plane movie?
Something to keep me awake, because if I need to sleep, I will sleep.
Yeah.
A boring movie, I'll just kind of... I won't sleep and I'll be bored.
Yeah.
But, like, something that is, like, entertaining me, I'm like, okay, this is good. If I have to be awake... I want to watch something that gets me through the flight, that goes quickly, makes the flight feel shorter, and once I'm ready to sleep, then I'll go.
Okay, cool. I will often think I want to start with a movie I wanted to see in the cinemas, I missed, like, I'm starting the flight, I'm, like, ready to get into it, and then maybe my second movie will be more, I'm probably going to fall asleep halfway through this. I don't want, like, one that I'm, like, super invested in, but one I'll just enjoy. Do you ever get self-conscious? Like, because it's sort of interesting watching a movie on the plane, because, like, you're sitting very close to the people next to you. They can sort of see what you're... Like, it's sort of like if I was watching something on an iPad, but I'm, like, holding the iPad up in front of me so that people on either side can, like, see what I'm watching.
I don't think I've ever felt self-conscious about something that I picked from the airlines entertainment system. But one time I was watching on my laptop, I might get the name of the film wrong. I think it's Anomalisa, something like that. The Charlie Kaufman film with puppets or stop motion, whatever it was. I'm not doing a very good job. Just look it up.
A pretentious choice, if ever I heard one.
Yeah.
Charlie Kaufman puppet film that no one's ever heard of.
Uh-huh. And it was, I love Charlie Kaufman, but I didn't really love this film. But more so than it being a little bit self-indulgent and underwhelming was the surprise of the puppet sex scene.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't predict that. Bonnie noticed it. And when she noticed it, I thought, maybe other people on the plane will notice this too.
Yeah.
So I shrunk it. Like, I didn't stop or fast forward, but I took the, what do you call it? Well, not the minimize, but you can kind of, like, you resize the screen.
Yeah.
And just put it in the corner while the puppets had sex. And when they moved on, I went back to full screen.
Yeah, I don't know. I sometimes get a bit self-conscious on the plane. Like a little bit like, if I pick a lot of girly films, like, not that they're in this. I don't know. I feel like I've walked into a whole, like, now gender stereotype. Like,
yeah, you're wrong year to make that joke, buddy.
I was like, Anyway, like, I don't know. I sometimes feel it. And also, like, then when you're watching a movie, there's like a sex scene in it or something like that. You're like, oh. Are people aware of this? Do I need to make sure I'm particularly still or not still? Well, I don't know. I sometimes get a bit of a... I'm an overthinker.
Like, what do I do with my hands?
Yes.
It's like all of a sudden you toss off the blanket.
Okay. So let's talk about some of the films we saw on the plane. The first one I chose on my flight over here was a bit of a big one. I missed it in the cinemas, but it got a lot of people talking about it. But it's not a genre that I would usually watch. Crazy Rich Asians. And by that, romantic comedy. Not is a genre I wouldn't usually, like, maybe go to the cinema to watch.
Yeah. Normally, I prefer my Asian films lower class.
Yeah. Yes. So... it's a movie. It's about an Asian couple. I think you're allowed to refer to them as Asian. Like, I usually would feel particularly bad going, there was this Asian guy in the movie. There was this Asian girl. I feel like the name of this movie, sort of, I feel a bit more free to refer to the people as Asian. Is that okay? Is that...
yes, there's a great discussion of this in It's Always Sunny about dropping a hard J. When the gang accuses Mac of using the word Jew in an insensitive way.
Mm.
And so he's like, we've got to get this down. It's like, a person of the Jewish faith is a Jew. They're like, yeah, that's okay. He says, we're going to teach that Jew a lesson. They're like, whoa. So anyway, an Asian couple is fine because
the movie's called Crazy Rich Asians. So people have made this film.
If that's not okay, that's a hell of a trap they've set.
Yes. And I don't think I saw anything on the internet about people outraged at the name of the movie. Anyway, so there's this Asian couple, just sort of interesting. She doesn't realize the guy she's going out with, he is super rich.
Mm-hmm.
And then she goes over for a wedding and is taken into that rich Asian world. Like, he's not just rich, he's crazy rich. And there's all these, like, see, I think often with movies, they like this when it's like a person entering a rich world because they get to do a lot of cool things like helicopter rides and just like extravagant stuff. And people can think, oh, that's cool. Oh, that's like pretty amazing. Oh, what a nice house. What a nice wedding. What a nice thing.
Like Entourage.
Yeah.
Like we half the show is just kind of the lifestyle, like the clubs, the fast cars, that kind of stuff. So it is... that's definitely a part of the film, just getting to see the mansions, the dresses.
The wedding scene was jewelry. Pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Where she walks down the aisle and then they start, like, I don't know, flooding the church. Like, yeah. I didn't 100% get what was happening there, but, like, it seemed like I'm surprised more people weren't wearing galoshes to this wedding. Yeah. Like, it seemed like just everyone's expensive dresses were getting ruined.
I was a bit concerned at how high the water level was going to get.
Yeah.
But it would have been cool if it got high enough to where she could, like, kayak down the aisle. It's not like an Asian custom. They're just really into kayaking.
Yeah. So that was sort of cool. But then again, maybe someone was just smoking and let off the sprinklers or something like that.
They ran with it.
Yeah.
Quick, send some origami down the aisle. Make it look planned.
Yeah. But yeah, you got this extravagance. She doesn't fit in with the family. The family's like, oh, he should marry a... like, I think there's a cultural element to the film of, like, you know, in Americans, like, people marry for love. But in, like, there's a tradition and culture and marrying the right people here in in our country, so...
One thing that I don't think I fully understood in the film was why the rich mother kept on saying, you know, Americans, they're so obsessed with chasing their dreams and their passions here. We're more pragmatic, family and tradition and that kind of thing are much more important. When the girlfriend told the rich mum, what she did is that I'm an economics professor and I'm lucky to be passionate about what I do. And she's like, oh, that's great that you pursue your passions.
Yeah.
And I'm like, she's an economics professor. She's not like a theater major or a poet. It's not like an impractical thing, career path.
Do women like in the country, this is going to be a very probably insensitive comment, but is it like the women aren't meant to be the workers or something? Is that part of it? I don't know. I'm going to stop myself here.
I'm not sure. Yeah. That I didn't, I mean, I get the general concept of sort of there being the cultural difference between Asia and America and even Asians and Asian Americans. The way that, that she kind of thought there was a difference and pursuing your passions. But I just didn't think that was a flippant thing to do, to be an economics professor at NYU.
Yeah. No, I'd agree with that. And it was, like, funny to, like, sort of all this talk about tradition, but they were doing quite modern rich people things. Like, but anyway, so, yeah, I thought it was actually quite a good movie. I enjoyed it. I thought it was fun the whole way through. I was sort of somewhat invested in the characters and relationship. I don't think like there was anything about it that was particularly great. Like it wasn't my favorite movie of the year or anything, but I thought it was a really fun romantic comedy. Just what you're after when you're on a plane. Like it was a good, good
movie. Giving scores?
Yeah, I think so. I'll give it a 7 out of 10.
7 out of 10. I enjoyed it more than I thought it would. I thought it was going to be sort of, yeah, cheesy rom-com. And it is a bit cheesy, but the characters are likable. And they throw a few Australians in there, which I appreciated.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not sure all of the people playing Chinese... Wait, no, sorry, they're in Singapore.
Yeah.
Are from Singapore. They're like, no one's going to notice the difference between Chinese and whatnot.
What? Sorry, what are you saying? Like, sorry, like...
That I think... that these or the actors or the characters were supposed to be from one background, but all the actors are actually from different Asian countries.
I don't know that. I wouldn't know. Cool. So what score are you giving the movie? Like, quite like
6 out of 10.
Okay. And apologies to anyone within the Asian community that has been offended by anything I or Jonathan have said. I feel like...
Feel free to... I'm not apologising because I don't think I said anything worth apologising for. But having said that, I'm open to learning. If anyone has any corrections, feel free to send those.
Yes. Let us know if we've said anything. We have not intended any offence. Please just let us know if we've said anything offensive. I agree with you. I don't think we have, but... I'm not the most culturally aware person. Okay, Joe, why don't you hit us up with a movie you've seen on the plane? Or a plane?
A plane. A plane film that I watched was Mission Impossible Fallout.
Now, I haven't seen that. So, I'll just tell you what I've heard about it, then you can, like, dispel the misconceptions or whatever. I heard that it's, like, quite good... Because, like, I think expectations are pretty low for this, like, you know, who cares about Mission Impossible movies? They're super old. They've made a million of them. And Tom Cruise is a bit washed up and stuff. But the, like, this was on such a large scale. It was just amazing.
Yeah, so I wouldn't have said that I'm a Mission Impossible fan. I think I've seen most of them, maybe not all of them. But if you told me... a Bond film is coming out and a Mission Impossible film is coming out, I'd be more excited for the Bond film.
Yeah.
Which is probably that, maybe like Jason Bourne or something would probably be the most comparable franchises. And yeah, Tom Cruise, people have mixed opinions on Tom Cruise. Some people think he's the best movie star and some people, in part due to the Scientology thing, don't don't like him at all.
I'm the latter column.
I think he's definitely goofy characteristics, but I think he is a super entertaining actor. He's got a marvelous run. One of the most iconic running forms.
The
audience can't see me.
Sorry, the way, yeah, because Jonathan's
pumping
action
my
now.
Hands back
the
and forth.
The way he's running.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I thought you were talking about he's had a good run of movies.
Nah.
I was getting ready to ask you what that good run was, but
I'm giving it to you.
Yeah, okay, great. Okay. So he's got a good run. Not a good run of movies, he just runs in an entertaining way. Okay.
Like if there's ever a scene where it's like the train's leaving the station, you'll never make it, and someone has to run and jump onto the train, I'd rather watch Tom Cruise run after that train than anybody else in Hollywood.
Interesting. I don't have someone I'd rather see run, but I feel like I've never thought this before
attached
about
a value
him.
To that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, other than his running, I thought it was pretty much everything that you could want in a Mission Impossible film. Some good villains, some good twists, some interesting side characters, some great action, some of the best stunts.
A good mission?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, good.
They tied in some things from some of the previous films fairly well. Tom Cruise does a lot of his own stunts. Another sort of unique thing about him, there's a scene where he jumps from rooftop to rooftop. He actually did that in real life. I'm sure there was a net down there, like if he didn't make it. But he only just makes it. And when he kind of dramatically hits the edge of the other building, that happened to Tom Cruise in real life. He broke his ankle doing that stunt.
That's cool.
That set filming back, but made for an awesome scene because it was really dramatic. Didn't look faked because it was real. So I actually probably enjoyed this more than any recent Bond film. Probably going back to Casino Royale. Casino Royale was probably better.
Better than Skyfall.
I think better than Skyfall.
I love Skyfall. I preferred Skyfall to Casino Royale, which is a hot take. Like, that's a
very hot, burning hot.
Yeah.
It's a fiery take.
Yeah. But anyway, we're not talking about that. But you thought it was better than Skyfall. That's huge.
I would give Mission Impossible Fallout an 8 out of 10.
I'm going to give it... I haven't seen it. I can't give it a score. Okay. So, there we go. Mission Impossible. I might check it out now if it's on, like, a Netflix or something like that. One of the movies I saw, I think it's sort of a similar category, maybe, The Meg. Have you seen The Meg? It's like this giant shark movie. It's like Jaws, but bigger than Jaws. Is The Rock in it? I feel like
Jason Statham, right?
Oh, Jason Statham, you're right. I just feel like The Rock's in every second movie.
So I thought it looked kind of entertaining, but pretty dumb. On the dumb-o-meter, how dumb is it from Jaws to Sharknado?
I haven't seen Sharknado. I feel like it's probably somewhere in between.
Okay.
So there's this giant shark. Rainn Wilson is in it.
Nice.
Playing the guy who's funding the whole shark like, expedition and very focused on the numbers and the profits and things like that. Rainn Wilson, who played Dwight in The Office. Our friend Bass was just really in. He really wanted to see this film when it came out. This looks so good. Like, he like organized an event for it. I couldn't make it, unfortunately. So I thought, oh, I might as well check out this Meg. It sort of seems a bit silly. There'll probably be some cool scenes. Yeah, it's like pretty much what you'd expect. There's a bunch of people on like this expedition. They discover a prehistoric sized shark and they accidentally release it into the main part of the ocean. It's in the, like, they discover a part of ocean that no one's ever discovered before. There's like a little, like, it looks like an ocean floor, but if you go down, it's actually some like bubbles or something. And it's like, there's a new bit of ocean down there. And accidentally when they're, I think, coming back out, the shark follows them out or something like that. And then it's sort of like, can we escape the shark? Can we kill the shark? Just fun, action-y sort of stuff. 5 out of 10.
Fair enough. So if you like fun action with a moderate level of dumb, The Meg could be for you.
Yeah, it's a good plane movie. I don't think like I would have watched it in any other context other than that outing Bass organized, and that would have been more just to grab dinner with Bass before the movie.
All right, very good. Well, something else I watched was You Were Never Really Here. It's with Joaquin Phoenix and no one else that I remember.
He's in a lot of movies, like, you know, wasn't he in some other movie, like, Who Am I Really? Like, you know, he's like all his, like, he's in a lot of movies with sort of these sort of phrase names. Anyway.
So this is sort of an arty indie film that's somewhat in the vein of a Taken. A decent portion of the plot is about retrieving a missing girl, but without any of the action. It's a lot more of a sort of character piece, a look at a person's state of mind, the kind of guy that wants to do good but is kind of involved in a dirty business.
A thinking man's Taken.
Yes. But ultimately, I didn't think it led to anything. I thought it was rather predictable. There was a very sort of thin, convoluted attempt at sort of tying in a government conspiracy, which I thought didn't work. And I decided to watch the film based on the trailer. Because you know how sometimes you're on a plane, there's just like a picture and a description?
Yeah, but you can watch the trailer.
This had the trailer. And it made it feel like Drive.
Oh.
Drive, one of my all-time favorite films. It had this kind of like driving soundtrack, and it had some kind of like badass clips of Joaquin Phoenix. I think he even held a hammer like Ryan Gosling does in Drive for a bit of it. And I'm like, even if this is just a Drive ripoff, that's like a total win as far as a plane movie goes.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, felt nothing like Drive. The soundtrack wasn't as good, nowhere near the action, the story. And what I found amazing was in the trailer, there was a scene, an exchange of dialogue between two characters in a particular location. And I kept on thinking about throughout the film, especially in the back half, wow, we haven't got to that part with these two characters in that location yet. I guess I know the what's going to happen with that character, at least up until that point. That line of dialogue in that location was the final dialogue and final location of the whole film. They showed you the ending in the trailer.
Ah.
I couldn't believe it.
Unbelievable.
Gobsmacked. 3 out of 10.
Okay. If you hadn't watched the trailer, would it have been a higher score?
No, because it was still anticlimactic.
So someone went in and pitched People Love Taken, but they hate the action. Still a Taken without the action. Another film I saw that I sort of, I wouldn't say wanted to see in the cinema, but was The Tomb Raider, the new Tomb Raider.
I didn't see that, but I'm interested to hear your take because I like the video games.
Oh, okay. I never played the video games. When we were in 11th grade, saw the Angelina Jolie film as bit of an evening movie night at school, like a camp on a camp thing, and I did not like the movie. There's a girl in our year, Sophie Bird, who dressed up as Tomb Raider. It was a sorry, okay, I haven't given enough details.
Like maybe you didn't like it. Because it wasn't Angelina Jolie's Tomb Raider. And the performance, the production that your school friends did, while I'm sure was valiant in effort, was not up to a Hollywood standard.
Okay. It was a movie night, camp movie night, where we had to dress up as a movie character. And Sophie happened to dress up as the Tomb Raider. She did dress up as the Tomb Raider. I went as one of the Blues Brothers. And then we saw the Tomb Raider movie, which is coincidence. Everyone's like, oh, Sophie, you picked the...
Hit the jackpot.
Yeah, you got the... Dressed up as the costume of the movie character that the teachers have selected. Anyway, I did not like the movie. And I was not interested in seeing the next Tomb Raider, other than the fact that it was starring Alicia Vikander, who I think's great. I think she's a fantastic actress. I find her very appealing. So I sort of at the time thought, well, I don't really want to see Tomb Raider, but I do like Alicia Vikander. The plane, I'm like, great. I don't need to pay the movie ticket. I don't need to set a night aside. I can just have this 2 hours of Alicia Vikander now. I thought she was great in it. There were some fun action scenes. Plot was sort of okay. And then there's just moments which are so ridiculous. Like, she's going to have to, like... There's one thing towards the end where she's got to open a door and she's like, ah, I'm the only one who knows this puzzle because I've done puzzles like these. She's just like turning things. You go, there's no way she'd know the order to do these in. Like, there seems to be no method to this. She's like, there, here, this one, like... they set it up with, like, she's done puzzles like this before, but that's about it. Anyway, yeah. It was like, for the plane, it was good, but it wasn't anything special. I'll give it a 6 out of 10.
6 out of 10. That's not too bad.
Yeah, it's all right.
Video game movies are known for being bad.
Hmm.
Like, I don't think there's been a video game movie that's, been super successful.
Yeah.
Like I, for example, Assassin's Creed, I think is a really good game.
Mm.
And I love Fassbender, Michael Fassbender, one of my favorite actors. Mm. Terrible. Really one of the worst movies of the year. Tomb Raider, the new reboot, the latest Tomb Raider games have been awesome. Although the story, it's more the gameplay, the story is serviceable, but I like it more for the gameplay, which is perhaps maybe why they struggled. I'm not sure. I'll have to see what they did to adapt it.
Mm. Cool. What was the movie you saw?
All right. Another movie that I saw was Blindspotting.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't know too much about it, but I had an interesting trailer. The quick pitch is there are two friends from sort of a bit of a tough area of Oakland. A white guy and a black guy. The black guy is on parole. He's got, I think, 3 days left on his parole.
Mm.
So that makes me nervous to begin with. You know, whenever you start a cop movie with it, be like, it's 3 days left to retirement. This is my last mission. You're like, oh, no, things aren't going to end well for this guy.
Well, one of the movies I saw on the plane, which you probably won't have time to get, was Ant-Man vs. the Wasp. And that's got a very similar opening premise. A guy's on his last week of parole. Anyway, continue. So, I'm sure that the parallels between Ant-Man and the Wasp and Blindspotting are just going to flow from here.
So I thought it was kind of remarkably engaging considering it. Not a lot happened plot-wise. It's kind of just a look at the city of Oakland, a look at these characters' friendship. I thought they had a really interesting dynamic between them. The black guy is trying to get sort of on the straight and narrow. The white guy, he's kind of a good friend, but kind of like a bit of a loose cannon.
Okay.
And the black guy witnesses a police shooting. Ooh. And that kind of like messes with his head. He's going into the last like few days of this period and some things start to go down. And I thought they balance kind of the sort of heavy thematics with some really fun moments too.
Mm.
And it wasn't jarring. They kind of managed to seamlessly, it was like believably work in and out, between them. So I felt like it had a lot to say. I really enjoyed it. I'm going to give it an 8.5 out of 10.
Cool. That's good.
Yeah.
I'll give Ant-Man and the Wasp 6.5 out of 10. there were fun moments. I didn't think it was as good as the first one. There are probably two more like little categories of like movies I'd like to talk about. I'll cover like a couple in these sets.
I think I've only got one more new one. I know you've seen it as well, so maybe end with that one.
Okay. Well, okay, I guess the two things... Oh, yep, I know the one you're talking about. So something else I think is really fun to watch on planes is animated movies.
Hmm.
I think they're visually appealing. You can often fall asleep during them. You can come back to them. It's not... You know, I think they're like... pleasant films to watch on a plane often. So I watched a few animated movies. I watched Mulan from the 90s. I hadn't watched that in a while. That holds up quite well. That was a good one, Mulan. I had a really good time. Got some good songs, some good anime. It was probably the anime films I saw, it's probably the best one. I give that an 8 out of 10 or something. Maybe 8.5 out of 10. The other two that I hadn't seen before were the Peanuts movie. Now, I'm a big Peanuts fan. I love the character Charlie Brown, how he is so just a loser. And, like, I think the creator of Peanuts is, like, Most people in life aren't winners, they're losers. That's what I wanted Charlie Brown to be, because people could identify with him, you know, and how he thinks about things, how he loses, very low self-esteem. And I think, like, there's something very profound and very relatable to the Charlie Brown character. I also think all the kids have some pretty profound, relatable things in that crew. So they've got some great comic strips. Watching the Peanuts movie, there were things that worked really well. Like, so Charlie Brown goes to sick bay at one point, sick as a nurse at school. She's like, what are you, like, one of the other kids like, what are you in for? And he's like, feelings of inadequacy. And I just think that's like a great line. It's in the spirit of the comic books. It could have even been taken from one of the comic books. I don't know. There's a character, a little red haired girl, that's pretty famous in the Charlie Brown books, that he's in love with her, but he never interacts with her. She's always like an off screen or off strip character. You know, and it's just, he never has the courage to go speak to her. So it's sort of almost like he's built her up in his head. Like, it's not based on anything. I quite like it. Now, she is in this, and I feel like that's probably not as powerful as the comic books where you don't see her. But it sort of worked. I also wonder if the ending was a little bit too happy.
Is everything okay? Wow.
I don't think Charlie Brown's about neatly wrapping everything up. I don't think that's what the strip was ever about. Was about, you know, like, solving everything. It was about more putting the questions out there and sort of like, sometimes things don't have a perfect answer. Like, sometimes you're just stuck with these feelings, you know. So, but it did get me a bit at the end. Like, it did move me a bit when they were wrapping things up. So I don't know how to feel about this, to be honest. There are things that really, I think some of the music was a bit too poppy. Like, back in the day, the Charlie Brown cartoons were a bit more, like, they use experimental, so like jazz soundtrack, and they use a bit of that here too. They clearly were aware of that when making this movie, but there's a few like more pop type songs in there. I think they could take them out. So I don't know, I'll give it 7.5 out of 10. It's actually quite a good movie, but I think a few areas it just went a bit away from the comic books. And the other animated movie I saw was Rio, which was a fun movie. Give that like 6.5 out of 10. It was good. It was fun. Like, good characters. A few moments where you're like, oh yeah, this isn't a Pixar, Disney level. Like, the song seems a bit forced and things, but it was actually a pretty nice story and well animated.
Cool.
The other category of movies, and I think this touches on what you, documentaries. Knocked over a few documentaries. So I saw the Ruth Bader Ginsburg movie. That was quite good. Give that 7 out of 10. The one about Mr. Rogers in America. Thank you for listening, or whatever it's called. Thank you for being my friend. Get that about 7 out of 10 too. That one's quite good. But the other one's one we both saw, Three Perfect Strangers. No, Three Identical Strangers.
Yeah.
Jonathan.
So yeah, this is a true story, a super interesting sort of premise, that somebody goes to college. They're leaving their hometown for their first year of college. They arrive, and I forget the names, but everyone's like, "Hey, Eddie," and they're like, "What? I'm Frankie," and everyone's like, "Hey, good to see you. Hey, you came back,
Eddie."
Yeah, some girl even comes up and kisses him on the cheek, and he's like, what the hell is happening? So he gets to where he's supposed to be staying, and someone sees him and thinks, man, this guy, rather than thinking it is Eddie, he goes, this guy looks exactly like Eddie.
Yeah.
He goes, you're not going to believe this. I think you have a twin.
Yeah.
So they track him down. They get the number. They find this Eddie. It'd be good if he was actually named Eddie.
Yeah. I think Eddie might be the name of one of them.
Yeah.
I do think Eddie rings, but anyway, continue.
And it turns out that he has an identical twin. They say, well, they're like, were you adopted? Yeah, I was adopted. And they look up where they're adopted from, same adoption agency. And they're like, wow, we are like long lost twins. And this becomes like a bit of a news story.
Yeah, it gets a paper report. So not like, I think someone calls up a paper and says, we've got the story of two twins. Didn't know they were twins.
You're not going to believe this.
Yeah. And they're like, I don't believe it. Send someone out there.
Yeah.
Versus, it's true. And they're like, put it on the front page of every paper. I don't know. Like, and they do.
So it becomes a bit of a news story. It's in the newspaper. And then someone's like, Johnny, you're not going to believe this.
Yeah.
They look exactly like you.
They've got your hands.
That's how they knew.
Yeah.
The big, meaty hands.
Yeah.
There's a third one. Someone finds out about this through the story of the first two meeting, contacts them, they get together, they're like, holy dooly, we're not just twins, we're long-lost triplets.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the premise.
That's crazy. So it kind of follows them being a bit of like a temporary sensation, them living their lives together. They kind of become like, that they're making up for lost time. And then also, what's the deal with this adoption agency?
Yeah.
Because none of the parents were told that one of three.
And the adoption agency was aware. It's not like, they all came from the same, it's not like three separate adoption agencies just had a baby left on their doorstep and they were, they had the three kids and they thought, you know what, let's give them to three different families. Yeah.
So I don't think we haven't been doing spoilers.
Yeah,
I won't spoil it, but I'll say there's three things that I found interesting. One, just the kind of crazy premise that we've gone over. Two, the kind of mystery of what's the deal with that adoption agency. And then three, it kind of poses some philosophical questions in a way of like nature versus nurture. You know, triplets that have, pretty much identical DNA. How similar are they? How different are they? How do their lives differ based on the upbringings that they had? Mm. And how does their stories venture out in different ways after they get reunited? So, I found myself really like invested in this story.
This was riveting, like so interesting twist. Like the other two documentaries, so Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the Mr. Rogers one, I would recommend it to people if they were interested in those two people. If you're someone who's interested in the Supreme Court and Ruth Bader Ginsburg, I say go see that movie.
Mm-hmm.
The Mr. Rogers one, if you're interested in children's television or like American life from that period of time, or Mr. Rogers, or you're like, go watch that show. You'll love that documentary. This one I'd recommend to anyone. Like, I think most people would find this an interesting, compelling story.
Yes.
Like, this is, I was had no expectations going into this, and I was gripped. Like, of all the movies I saw on the plane, this was the best. Of all the movies I saw on the plane for the first time, this was the best one.
Yeah, I somewhat like documentaries. I feel like I should watch more. But even if you're someone that's like, that documentary is not normally my jam. No, this is like dramatic. This will hook you in as much as any like drama or thriller.
Particularly for one that's like, it's not like Icarus was a really good one last year, but that was because things were unfolding as they're making the documentary. This is all like 95% is all retelling, people retelling stories and talking heads, which sometimes is a bit more boring a way of doing a documentary. Like, but no, yeah, it's so funny. They became celebrity. Like, I don't know what would happen if this happened today. I feel like the shelf life on these celebrities wouldn't. I think in the YouTube generation, people would. Like, they were able to set up like one of New York's most successful restaurants off this celebrity.
That's a good question.
Triplets.
I definitely think it would have been
a story. Yeah.
But yeah, does the news cycle move quicker? Would they have been as big as celebrities? It's an interesting question.
Yeah. Yeah. Really interesting questions towards like what's environment. Yeah. Anyway, loved it. I'll give it an 8.5 out of 10.
I'll give it an 8.
Okay. Cool.
Awesome. And
there you go. There's our plain potpourri reviews. I don't know if we decide on that as the title for it.
Movie mashup, plain potpourri.
Yeah.
Vote. Facebook.com/screenverdictpodcast. The name will have already been chosen.
Yeah, I was going to say.
But you can let us know whether we made the right choice.
Mm-hmm. Now, usually, I'll open housekeeping now. Usually, we have to cut these podcasts off because, I don't know, Jonathan's got to go to bed or off to somewhere exciting with Bonnie. They've got some exciting plans. Or I need to rush off to some
work.
I was going to say some mundane platonic catch up with a friend. but today we're both rushing off to the same thing. We're performing in a comedy show.
We're heading to the Upright Citizens Brigade Franklin Theatre. It's been an intense week.
We've done a week of intensive improv.
6 classes. Hours a day, every day.
I've seen like 6 improv shows in that time as well. I've
seen 4.
Yeah. 10 combined, although some of them were the same shows.
Yeah.
So it's been like, I've just been immersed in comedy. There's just so much racing through my brain at the moment of all the shows we've seen. That is the UCB mantra.
Here's a question.
Yes.
Sort of the UCB phrasing that it has on some of its merchandise, hats and shirts and things, says don't think.
Yeah.
But the improv movie with Mike Birbiglia and Keegan Michael Key, it's called Don't Think Twice.
Oh.
So am I allowed to think once or not at all?
Are they from UCB or is that a different strain of improv? Are they from a different school?
I'm not sure. It felt like UCB. I'm not sure. I think Keegan in real life was Second City.
Okay.
I don't know what Mike Birbiglia did. He's the writer of the film.
Oh, well.
Maybe it's different. Opposing philosophies on improv.
Yeah. Don't think or think once. Oh, well, you got to buy a ticket and get on the ride. So, to quote our teacher.
If you buy a ticket.
Oh, whatever. So... ride.
Buy a ticket, take the ride, tell us it's like telling someone to do something.
Okay, great. So we're performing in about 2 hours. I'm starting to get a bit nervous, actually. My stomach's starting to get a bit light.
I hope I didn't get you a bad Cubano.
Yeah, it might be the sandwich. So anyway, we'll let you know how that goes in the next podcast, how that went.
We crushed it.
Yeah.
See ya.
See ya.